2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 27. When Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly. Smote him there under the fifth rib that he died. The blood of Asahel, his brother. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and in all his father's house. And let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue. But it is a leper that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner, because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes, and gird you with sackcloth, and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed the bier. They buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner. And all the people wept. The king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. When all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David swore, saying, so do God to me and more also, if I taste bread or aught else till the sun be down. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner, the son of Ner. The king said unto his servants, know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel. And I am this day weak, though anointed king. These men, the sons of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Turn back, please, to 2 Samuel. Chapter 3. I don't know how much I'm going to really be able to say this morning. It is an emotional morning. Just pray the Lord will give us grace and help. Up until 6:30 last evening, I had planned to preach on Moses and the plagues. Returning to our studies in the life of Moses, but I received a phone call from John Elliott between 6:30 and 6:45. And I knew at that point there was just no way we would continue with that message. I didn't know at that point what I was going to say this morning, but I just felt the Lord would have something else to lay upon my heart for the occasion. And the moderator phoned me, Reverend Gordon Dean, and he had asked, would it be possible to go and see the family? And I had said, well, we were planning to go out, but it wouldn't be till later in the evening. And the moderator travelled down. We left the manse about 9:00 to head out to Annochmoor, out to Alison's house, where the family were gathered, and we were able to spend some time with the family. And we were driving back in. It was between 10:30 and 11:00, and Ronald, our clerk of session, was there too. And just as we were driving home, the Lord placed this little verse upon my heart It's verse 38, where David, lamenting over Abner, he said, it says, "And the king said unto his servants, Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel?" And I think it was near midnight when I got into the study. I just read the passage and I just literally scribbled down a few little thoughts that I want to share with you this morning. As I say, I don't really know how much I'll be able to say with the emotion of the morning and what has taken place. But I trust that in some way our hearts will be blessed as we gather in the house of the Lord this morning. These words of verse 38 were the words of David concerning Abner. They were a lamentation that was made just after the burial of Abner. And I believe they are appropriate for us to meditate upon and to consider this morning in light of the sudden home call and passing of Dr. Elliot. I want you to consider, firstly, from these words, the substance of them, and really drawing your attention, first of all, to that little phrase, "There is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel." David was speaking these words about Abner. And let me say right from the outset that Abner was not a perfect man. And yet David could honour him with such words and this title, "A prince and a great man is fallen this day." And apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, there are no perfect men or women on this earth. And so I believe that these words are also appropriate to take them today and to apply them to our friend and former minister here, and one who is very dear to all of you, Reverend Elliot, "A prince and a great man has fallen this day." David recognized and acknowledged Abner's greatness in the nation as a soldier and a servant in the army of Israel. And I believe it is right and it is proper to acknowledge those who have faithfully and sincerely served the Lord in His cause and in His kingdom. And certainly in His life, I believe, and in His ministry, we could say that the Reverend Elliot was a great man. Outside the Free Presbyterian Church, and maybe even outside Portadown, the name Kenneth Elliot may not be widely known. And yet in the Lord's kingdom and in the Lord's cause and within the Free Church, and I believe within Portadown, we can pay honour to him as a great man of God. David was eulogizing Abner's service to his nation when he described him as a prince and a great man. And I believe we can mention today the service of the Reverend Elliot. I mention it as an example and to commend it to each and every one of us for a life of service before the Lord. Coming to Portadown almost 4.5 years ago, I was able to get to know the Reverend Elliot a little better than I had known him just as a student and as a colleague. He told me that he was saved around the age of 17. It was not long after that he began to get a great interest and burden for the work and service of the Lord. And as a young man, he entered into the work of the city mission. I was really keen to hear about his work there because he served the Lord in a little mission hall off the Shankill Road in Bellevue Street. And my granny was from Bellevue Street. My mother was born in Bellevue Street. And they remember the mission hall there in Bellevue Street, the Reverend Elliot laboured in. It was while he was in Belfast, he came under the influence and the ministry of Dr. Paisley. And it was then that he became convinced of the separated stand of the Free Church. And so, leaving the city mission, he applied to the Theological Hall of the Free Church to study for the ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church. In his final period of time as a student, he was placed as a student minister in the Omagh congregation. I think I may be right in saying, though, don't just quote me verbatim, but I do think that when he finished, he did receive a call to both the Omagh Church and the Portadown Church. But praying over the matter in the early 1970s, he felt convinced it was the call of God to come to what was his hometown of Portadown and begin a ministry that would last for 43 years in this town of Portadown. During those 43 years, the Reverend Elliot was used of God. The work that was accomplished was of the Lord. But it is right and proper to acknowledge that the vessel, one of the vessels that the Lord used, was the Reverend Elliot. He was used of God in the conversion of many souls. I was struck when I came to Portadown to hear about the missions, and I would visit homes. And people would tell me, I was saved in such and such a mission in the 1980s. The Reverend Elliot was the preacher. And there was a pattern to that. And the number of people that I have spoken to in this congregation that were converted through missions, this church, the Reverend Elliot either pointed them to the Lord or was the preacher. It was outstanding. Amazing. The Brownstown Road mission. The Kilmagamish mission. There were other missions. Used of God, the conversion of souls. Used of God to the establishment of this congregation when the Reverend Elliot took up the ministry here. I think I'm right in saying they were still meeting in Corcoran Orange Hall. That was, I believe, where the installation and ordination took place. There were a number of other homes for the congregation. I know there was the old Temperance Hall, the Town Hall, many others before eventually this site was secured for the building of this house. Souls were saved. A separated witness for Christ was established. The old building was erected. The Sabbath school complex, a Sabbath school, and I don't know about you again, one of the things that struck me was the photograph that Woolsey showed me, the march of the Sunday school. I think it may have been the early 80s when 400 children marched down Lavacary Gardens to the Sabbath school. I'm not sure whether that was the opening of that complex or just a special march, but the Sabbath school complex opened for a Sabbath school at its peak of 400 children. A Christian school commenced and pioneered. I would sum up the Reverend Elliot's ministry here in Portadown over 43 years. He protested against error. He proclaimed the truth. He pitied the lost. He pointed men to Christ and he pioneered a separated church. He was also involved in the training of missionaries and ministers in the Whitfield College of the Bible, right up Until the Christmas break, he was still teaching homiletics and pastoral theology in the Whitfield College of the Bible. A life saved, a life of service. And as such, we have no hesitation in saying, he's a prince, great man in the kingdom of God. But I want you to consider, secondly, this morning, not only the substance of this lament, but also the setting of it. You'll notice the little text that speaks about a prince and a great man has fallen. You'll notice in verse 31, the end, the little phrase, and King David himself followed the bier. The bier's an old word for the coffin. He followed the coffin. You'll notice that it says in verse 32, they buried Abner in Hebron. The setting of these words, a prince and a great man has fallen. It's the funeral setting. The great man had passed on, and the best and the greatest of men are but men at best, and the best and godliest men, even in scripture times, they succumbed to death and passed away. Moses, Joshua, David, John. Mighty men of God who passed on, and great lamentation was made. And as David attends the burial, and as the time continues after that burial, they come to David and they ask him to eat, and he states he will not eat until the sun goes down, for a prince and a great man has fallen this day. The setting of this commendation of Abner was at the time of his death. Can I say Abner's death was a sudden death? It was unexpected. He died suddenly in the gate of Hebron. And I just say that in passing, because we do say genuinely and earnestly today, the news we received last night was a total shock to us all. Humanly speaking, it was unexpected. We received the word last Sunday night that Mr. Elliot had been taken ill, and I was able to attend the hospital on Monday evening, and he had just had his procedure to insert the stent, and Alison and Victoria were there, and as he came up out of recovery into the ward, they brought him some dinner, and Mr. Elliot was in great form. He was a good colour. He was talking away, and I commented to some of the folk last night, you'd have just thought he was in hospital on a wee break or a wee holiday. Went again to the hospital on Tuesday morning, and again he was in really good form. They were talking actually about him getting out of hospital on Tuesday afternoon. That was put back then to Thursday. But we thought, with the procedure taking place and getting the medical help that he needed and seeming to come through the procedure so well, we thought while the road to recovery was perhaps going to be longer than he would have liked, and it was going to be a slow recovery, yet we thought that that was the path he was on, the road to recovery. And so it was, with absolute shock and almost disbelief, that we received the phone call last evening to say that Reverend Elliot had passed on. It was sudden. Men and women, while we can apply these words to the Reverend Elliot, and I believe rightly so, yet there is a lesson in his passing. We are not to boast ourselves of tomorrow. How often would Dr. Elliot himself have urged those words upon you? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I have no doubt that he often preached the need to prepare and that now was the accepted time. And I have no doubt there has been those who have sat through gospel meetings where the Reverend Elliot had preached the word and he exhorted you along those very lines. There are people connected with this church and have sat in this church and they are not saved. You're not a Christian. And the messages come forth. You know not what a day may bring forth. Death can come upon you so suddenly. I heard those words often fall from his lips. Stout and strong today, tomorrow turn to clay. Today you're in your bloom, tomorrow in your tomb. And his own passing would enforce that word. It was said of Abel when he died, he being dead yet speaketh. And the passing of Mr. Elliot would speak and speak to your heart loudly and say, make sure you're ready for your departure from this world. Make sure you're ready for when the cold hand of death puts itself on your shoulder and ushers your soul out into eternity, for you never know when it will be. And you may never have another opportunity to call upon the Lord, to get right with Him, to repent of your sin, to believe the gospel. And if He could stand here today, I would have absolutely no doubt He would urge upon every one of you, get right with God and do it now. I ask you, in the context of a sudden passing, a sudden death, have you prepared to meet the Lord? And if you were called out into eternity without a moment's notice or warning, where would your soul be? Will it be in heaven with Christ? Or will it be in hell, in torment, forever and forever? The final thought that I just want to say this morning from this text, we've considered the substance or message of it. A prince, a great man has fallen this day in Israel. We've considered the setting of it. It was spoken in the setting of a sudden death. Consider the sorrow within it. It's evident that these words are a lamentation. David grieved, mourned and lamented over the death of Abner. You'll notice in verse 32 it tells us they buried Abner in Hebron and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner. There as they surround the tomb, David weeps and mourns. And it tells us that all the people wept. Tells us in verse 33, the king lamented over Abner. There is sorrow and death. And it is right and proper to lament not merely the death and passing of a friend, one who was a colleague, one who was a pastor, but it is right and proper to sorrow when men of God are called home, because it is a loss to the kingdom of God on earth. When Elijah was taken up to heaven, Elisha cried. I'm not quoting verbatim, I'm just going from memory. He cried, lamented over Elijah, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. What he was really saying was the Lord had taken home the best defense, the best attack that the nation had. Elijah was like the army to the people of God. The army defends, the army attacks the enemy, puts down the enemy. And Elisha lamented that the Lord had taken home the one who was the chariot and the horsemen of Israel. The greatest blessing the church has is men of God. And Elisha mourned. And Elijah was taken home. When John the Baptist was beheaded, the disciples brought word to Jesus. And Jesus withdrew from the multitudes and he went to a solitary place. And I believe he mourned the passing of John the Baptist, the greatest prophet born of women. It is right and it is normal to have sorrow. And we will feel that sorrow over the next number of days. As we gathered in the home last night and as the moderator read the scriptures to the family, he read that portion from John chapter 11. You see, the Lord Jesus attended the home of sorrow. When Mary and Martha lost their brother Lazarus to death, Jesus made his journey there. The moderator pointed out that in their sorrow, Jesus was the one who was full of compassion. The word was put out, behold how he loved him. And he loved Lazarus in life, and he loved him in death, and he loved him for all eternity. And I tell you, the Lord's love doesn't change for his people in life or in death. Whether I speak of you or the Reverend Elliot. And he could say last night, the Lord loved the Reverend Elliot in life and he loved him in death. He's a compassionate Savior. Then he said he's the caring Savior. For he spoke words of comfort and care to Mary and Martha. The Master is come and he calleth for thee. And he called those sisters unto himself that he might comfort them and he might alleviate their burden and their brokenness. And I tell you, in the midst of sorrow, sorrow that is real and that is genuine and sorrow that breaks the heart, the Lord Jesus is the only one that can comfort. And we point you to him today. He's not only the compassionate Savior and the caring, comforting Savior. He's the conquering Savior. For as he stood at that tomb, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of the tomb in the grave clothes. The message today is that Jesus Christ has conquered death. And Jesus Christ has broken the cords or the bars of death. By his death and his blood shedding and his resurrection, he has given to us eternal life. And he has triumphed over death in such a way that what happened in that graveyard in Bethany will happen one day throughout this whole world. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. When Jesus descends, the dead in Christ shall rise from the tomb. And we shall be forever with the Lord. And the body that is broken by death and returns to dust through death will live forevermore through the resurrection of the righteous. And we can draw comfort today in knowing that the soul of the one who has departed has viewed Christ face to face. And one day all who are in Christ will rise to meet him, be with the Savior, be reunited with those that have gone before. I ask you, in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Have you believed in Christ to the saving of your soul? Will you conquer death one day? We can say to the Elliot family, the Reverend Elliot has conquered death, for his soul is with the Lord. One day he will rise again to be with the Saviour forever. And I trust that will be your experience. And that's what will bring you comfort now and in the days that are to come.